Now, Mary, a reminder. Today's quote is easy.
No, it's not. It might be easy for you lot, but I'm not using it.
What?
I've made special preparations.
Quote is easy.
Not deviating from the quest I've decided on. So you lot can do
what... Quest is the quest.
You can do what you like. Anyway, let's get going.
APG Services, the Rossi at boob1.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 223. I'm Adam, and gratitude is unnecessary. Speed is vital. And she's back. It's Deborah Melrose.
Well, I could go with the quest is the quest.
That's Kirby Bartlett-Sloan.
The quest is the quest.
And Mary Lang.
Doctor, his name is Zor. What a beautiful name.
Thank you, Mary, for not conforming.
I thought that the easy quote was going to be, shut up, canine.
Yeah, shut up, canine.
Well, I'm going to say mine properly.
We can say that liberally to Kirby today.
Why? Why? Huh? What?
Shut up, canine.
Shut up, canine.
Shut up, canine.
Okay, fine. Yes, master.
Be interesting though, Kirby. If your middle name were perhaps a number and not a name, you could then be K9 Bartlett Sloan, couldn't you?
Oh, he could.
He said that one before. Oh.
Hunchy?
Maybe he's K10.
I'll take an ear thing off then.
Did someone just leave?
Hey, sorry. No, I just got into trouble for talking too loudly.
Oh, no.
We have to be quiet. Sorry.
Yeah, it's your lot for. You're talking too loud. Yeah, anyway. Right. What was I up to? What were we talking about just for you? Well, oh, yeah.
We
talking about your middle
hello?
Name, weren't we?
And then we all said the quest is the quest, as we should have.
I know those bits. I was talking about the bits that happened immediately before I got told off. Anyway, right. Shall we go on to the story we're reviewing this week?
Yes.
Which is?
Underworld.
Good.
Underworld.
I'm glad I got the right DVD in then.
Or maybe we should skip this and talk about something else more interesting.
Uh-oh.
Be quiet,
uh-oh.
Mary. What do you
sounds
mean?
Sounds like someone didn't like it.
No, we'll talk about this later. Underworld always reminds me of Coronation Street anyway, because that's the name of the factory in Coronation Street. I'm not going to say there's a title sequence, because that seems to be something I say every week. There's an interesting galaxy shot, though.
It's the fact that Leela, she's driving it, you know, she's controlling the TARDIS, very sort of, yeah, I'll press that, yeah, I'll push that.
She's caressing
that
control rather worryingly, shall we say. So the Doctor then comes into the console room dressed in, like Rembrandt or something like that.
And did you notice he's got paint on his face?
I did notice that, yes.
And oddly enough, when they come back into the TARDIS at the end of the story and he gets ready to put the smock back on, he's got paint on his face.
Yes, I saw
it's almost as if they filmed it the same time.
So he's carrying a brush that you would normally paint house walls with.
He might have been painting the corridors ready for the invasion of time.
There's a lot of those corridors.
So
they
look
like
whitewashed. Yeah. Yeah.
That would be one of those infinite projects.
Indeed. Anyway, I keep saying anyway, and it's starting to annoy myself.
Yes, you do.
And it's your fault I keep saying it. So, yes, they get caught in Spiral Nebula thingamajig, and the only way of getting out of it is by materialising in a nearest object, which happens to be a spaceship containing some people, one of which is looking a bit old and decrepit. Fortunately, she regenerates later on and looks rather nice looking. And thank you for that, Kirby. For goodness sake.
With fewer people, it's easier to identify who's doing what.
Diana Dawes is. Well, you wouldn't hear me doing stuff like that. Diana Dawes' husband, Alan Lake.
Did someone say, gosh,
Fred,
Dad?
Fred just... Yes. Fred just said that. Then she closed the door.
I'm surprised. I'm sure she didn't slam it. Anyway. I forgot where I was. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, Diana adores his husband, who committed suicide after her death. But you didn't know that, did you?
No.
Alan Lake. I think it's Alan Lake.
Alan Lake.
I didn't know he committed suicide. Actor,
yes, he was married to Diana Dawes, the iconic British sex bomb, as she was when she was younger. She passed away of cancer, I think it was. And he could... Alan Lake, the one who played Eric.
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eric.
I think he was
one of the best things about
him. I think he committed suicide about a month after her death. He just couldn't cope with it.
Was there a best thing?
What'd she say?
Was there a best thing?
I don't know what she's on about. So you've lost me.
About this show.
Very funny, dear. Mary. Save it till later. But anyway... I'm going to give up and just keep saying it because that's all I can say at the moment. Yeah, so the Doctor and Leela have materialised in a room that hasn't had anybody in it for quite a long time.
Does he realise it's minion technology, doesn't he, or something?
Yeah, he does. Very clever, isn't he? Mm. He should sort of be the staff...
What, this is from Despicable Me?
Character of,
Minions?
Thank you for that.
I did think of that when
so
it
did
started.
I hoped you wouldn't have noticed it. And it's quite funny where is it... What's his character called?
Tyler,
the old Tyler headbutts the panel in front of her. I thought she'd like to, she's just exasperated that, oh God, that's that special effect for that nebula that's terrible. Meanwhile, the Doctor and, not Canine, but Doctor and Leela have fallen over in the bump. The lasers are very bright and green and sort of, they are quite
resistant. They extra time on the lasers in this particular one.
Do they?
Yeah.
Good. But they were very consistent.
They had a lot of budget for electronic effects, but very little budget for everything else.
Yeah.
That's because they spent all their money on the special effects and the ship.
The CSO background, which is very special to the whole story, is CSO. I did like his scarf. It's very similar to mine, actually. Yes, this version of his scarf. My scarf's hidden behind a load of stuff.
I can see it there.
You can see the base. Yeah. It's obviously the one that mine's based on. And I like the pacifier gun. I think that's fantastic.
Oh, yes. The pacifier gun is great.
Thank you. I could do with one of them here, actually.
That would be cool.
Yeah, <really.
laughs> Thank you.
So the Doctor and Leela introduce themselves and Leela gets pacified, which is really quite funny.
I didn't quite work out, because you know that they regard the Time Lords as gods. I don't quite... get throughout whether or not they work out he is one, because they recognise the noise. I must have just sort of zoned out.
There was a part in which they did they went on a database. They report had put the noise through on the database,
and it said it was a time
it was from
ship,
time ship of the gods. That's right, but
then it's not.
They
really
didn't put two and two together. No,
no.
And
Tala's just regenerated. For anyone wondering what the four was.
Well, she's a very nice looking bird. Oh, did you see that awful programme the other night about my granny's escort? Good God. It was one of those programmes that was sort of hideous to watch, but you had to watch it, you know?
Oh, no. Yeah.
It was...
Car Crash TV.
Yeah, but it was good.
You
was
have
good.
To watch it?
Yeah. Because it was
car
so interesting.
Crash TV.
It's one of those things, you know.
Gross,
things,
but interesting.
Yeah, yeah. It's a bit like that awful programme, which I wouldn't watch because it's too gross, which is the one about the body parts, what's that one called? With the gay doctor. I can't remember what it's called now. It's a Channel 4 programme.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's all people with really...
I feel like I'm being left out of a conversation.
I'm getting loads of notifications coming through. My mouse stopped. Right, so, yes.
Embarrassing bodies. There you go.
That's a one? So you do know.
Never heard of it.
Well, look it up on YouTube and then stop watching
I had to send it down to filing and get it back.
Yes, but that programme was really good. I'll tell you what programme is really, really good, and it's actually better than Doctor Who.
No.
It's actually called Gogglebox, and it's the best programme on television by a long, long way.
What? Nothing's better than Doctor Who.
Gogglebox is.
Blasphemer!
So I'm going to start up the 20 megabyte Gogglebox podcast.
I was going to say, what podcast are we doing here?
Although, if Gogglebox do a piece on Doctor Who and slate it, I might change my mind.
Yeah,
on
I was going to say.
Which they may.
Yeah, they probably
will. If they're still on in August, then we'll see how we get on with it.
There's a lot of screaming happening in the hall outside of my room.
Is there?
Can't hear any of it.
No,
I'm leaning further towards the microphone, so I don't have to shout so much.
Yes, we're kind of whispering.
I'm not allowed to use my podcasting voice. This is terrible.
Barnes & Noble with them?
Of course you can go to Barnes & Noble with them.
Can you tell them? Because they're not letting me.
Barcelona?
Barnes & Noble. It's a bookstore.
And there we go.
Where are you going?
It's one Barcelona. Way to get our listeners riveted, isn't it?
Hang on a second.
I don't want to listen to arguing teenagers that aren't in my house. It's far more interesting than when they're in my house. Is he gone?
Yeah, I think he's gone. Yeah,
apparently. Blimmin' Kirby, we might be able to get through the whole three episodes now while he's off the thing. Quick, right.
I was
yeah, hurry up.
I turned my microphone off, but I was able to hear you.
Yeah.
Two of the girls are going over to the bookstore because they can't watch Netflix while I'm on Skype.
Oh,
and the other one is trying to go along, but they're telling her, oh, you'll just get bored.
So you're feeling the same sort of evil satisfaction that I did when I had to stop Alicia a few years ago, in fact, from doing something in her room in relation to watching streaming programs whilst the podcast was on.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
I remember that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Anyway. World War III?
Well, it was their idea to go to the bookstore, although part of it, I did hand Julia a $10 bill and said, bring me back the latest Doctor Who magazine that they have.
Nah. I'll tell you what, though, if we had the official podcast historian Ian Kirk on the show, he'd be able to tell you which episode that was that Alicia was told off using up the bandwidth.
I know.
Yeah. And we're talking about this stuff rather glossing over the episode we're supposed to be reviewing at the moment. I did quite like that, the pacifier stroke. That budget was a bit of everything gun, wasn't it? It did a bit of pacifying, a bit of killing, and it was a shield as well. I quite like that.
Questions that I have is here they spend all this time on that pacifier gun in episode one, and then you never hear about it ever again.
Not being used as a pacifier, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I would think the Doctor would jump right on that, because if you knew he was facing hostilities, wouldn't the pacifier gun be perfect? Rather than him telling
Jackson?
What's her name? Louise Jameson.
Leela.
Leela, thank you. Rather than him telling Leela to make sure she has that shield gun and make sure the safety catches off.
That was going to be my other quote.
Yeah, well, and it's like, why would he arm them when there was this pacifier gun?
Yeah, but that would be at the end of several, quite a lot of future Doctor Who stories if that was actually retained, wouldn't it?
Now, the pacifier gun is not the same gun as the shield gun.
I know.
Okay, thank
and
you.
And
someone was implying that it was.
No, none of anyway, us were. We all
back
knew they
to
were
the
separate.
Inverted commas story. There was a bit where the spaceship is sort of crashing into, I don't know, it's a planet or whatever.
It's a nebula, but, isn't it?
Oh, was it a nebula? Yeah, and then the shields come up. I think that's quite impressive.
They call it, like, he names it the Charybdis Nebula or something, because there's lots of Greek references throughout this one.
Yes.
Sort of being sucked in.
And this is why Matthew is no longer on the show.
Why, because Debbie knows more than he does.
Yes!
Superb. Right. Well, only thing we've got a problem with that is, of course, Matthew's our link to getting Sylvester McCoy on the show.
I know.
He'll be back.
Will he?
Yeah.
Okay, if you say so.
Please,
believe
Matthew.
It when I see it. I want the big battle. The quiz battle between and you and Matthew. We could have a really big build up to it, couldn't we?
Mm-hmm.
And we'd have like gladiatorial music playing.
In the blue corner.
Yeah, just imagine. I mean, they've all got to be back when the new series starts in August.
Yeah.
And Rhys Parton, Robert, wouldn't fit everybody on there. Skype would be overflowing with 20 megabyte podcast presenters. Meanwhile. Yeah, so this I'm going to fast forward through this bit because the spaceship, but
the spaceship's attracting
becomes a planet,
gravity,
which again was very good.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Yeah,
scientifically,
lots of polystyrene.
Yeah, there was more terrible polystyrene.
Simply showed it backwards. They filmed those things dropping off of the model.
Yeah, but it's a really good scene and an idea,
yeah.
and the fact that they're inside looking out and all the glowing light in between the rocks.
It reminds me of that episode with the Empress on the David Tennant's.
Mm.
Was it a Christmas one?
The
Christmas Star one.
Yeah,
it reminded me of that, definitely. Yeah.
I remember being impressed by this one the first time I saw it, which, of course, I had already posted the exact date on Facebook.
Thank you.
I did like that, your diary post. That was fantastic.
Yeah, I was quite good on it. I had posted a diary post myself from a few years ago. Yeah. What?
Julia is holding a cat in front of the microphone.
Yeah.
Would she do pinch
it? Isn't it a sad
What's
thing?
It called?
It's a cat.
I thought you guys had gone to the bookstore. Okay, they're going to the bookstore now.
What's the cat called? Hey, canine?
No, that's Annie. Don't forget to take your tablet. Okay. That's Annie the cat.
Isn't it sad, though, Kirby, when you get a cat on the podcast that actually makes more sense than you when you get them on the microphone? It's not the way it's meant to be. You know? See, Mary's not disagreering with you, she's just laughing. Don't get all upset. He's gone all quiet now. Right, let's make the most of it. Okay, part two, like you say. They're trying to blast through the rocks with the laser cannon. Again,
they're worried they haven't got enough fuel left for it.
Quite like that idea. Because the lasers weren't really... You know, they were sort of a part of science fiction that became reality, weren't they, really?
Mm.
So whether we end up getting a laser cannon, I mean, they could. It's the power of the laser, isn't it? I suppose they could, in theory, invent something called a laser cannon that actually works. What do you think, Kirby?
Yeah.
Was that the cat? Was that Kirby? Meow. Meow. That cat, there's a cat on. Is that one's Charlie, the old.
Charlie says.
Child safety.
Charlie thing, says never Charlie cross says the road that. Without looking.
Yeah, so they do blast through, thanks to the doctor's ingeniousness.
I think I heard another purr then.
No, that was Kirby snoring. So they break through, and then they end up sort of landing in a what looked like a solid planet, but fortunately...
The signal's coming through loud and strong, isn't it, now? They're going, we've got the signal, we're right on it,
And then Barry Letts is there, look. See, there's Barry Letts moving a polystyrene rock around.
No, it's not, although it looks like it.
And then we've got a few thugs with their pullovers pulled a little bit too far down.
What was that?
More cats. Yes, meanwhile, they've landed on this planet. They rather odd-looking spacesuits. But at least they're trying to be original. They look like blowtorch.
And the way I look upon the helmets there are they're supposed to be the precursors of what the whatever those guys were at the end, the cyborg
guards
guys.
Type thing, and the guardians good. Of the... Oracle.
Yes, I haven't thought of that one.
Yeah.
Very good. So, yeah.
This story has grown on me since I first saw it, so...
We'll talk about what we think of the story later on. And when Mary's on, maybe we'll get Mary on first so we can all disagree with her. I don't know. We'll find out. It might be a good idea, mightn't it? Oh, what's going on there?
I love the fact when they're trying to be quiet, when they're wandering through
like
the tunnels.
Like we are.
And, yeah, like we're sort of whispering. The echo... of the doctor going, shush, be quiet, going off. Yeah. It's like excellent polystyrene resonation.
I did drift a little bit while watching the story, to be honest with you.
That reminds me of the doctor and Leela and K-9 in the hallway, though. Shush, 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 shush.
I was listening to a Podshock episode earlier on today in which they were talking about the invasion of time, and they keep on playing clips from the episodes they review. And one of the clips was Tom Baker getting very angry, which he didn't do very often. He was just shouting at Brucer when he was sort of telling Brucer he's the president and he should do what he's told, sort of thing.
Mm.
Anyway, back to this one. It was just a reference because obviously when I said that this was paving the way for the invasion of time earlier on, I did, honestly. Anyway, right, what they've got here is basically a CSO scene, isn't there? They've made this planet and out of models, and they sort of made it a CSO background, and I don't think it's too bad, apart from some of the CSOs a bit fuzzy. I think
there's some issues at points where their feet disappear, but other than that, I thought they did a great job with
it. I haven't got it didn't affect my enjoyment of it, because it made me feel that this was a really alien planet, you know, when watching it. Obviously when you're watching it at the time, you know it's CSO, but I think at the time you just accepted the look of CSO as what it was.
It was 1979 or something.
CSO, but what they're trying to do is create an alien look, and they did a really, really good job
And there are a couple of, besides their feet disappearing at some spots, there's a couple of other odd parts. It looks like K-9 is floating at one point.
Yes.
A guard disappears into a wall.
Yeah.
But for bad CSO, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, indeed.
I've seen worse.
Look at that polystyrene rock moving.
There's an extra on the disc, which is kind of interesting. It's a lot of showing how they were. It's like behind the scenes filming. It was taken off. Someone had pointed a camera directly at the feed from the two cameras, before and after. Yes. And sometimes while they're filming, and like there's sections where they're moving the camera that's pointed at the model when they're and the camera pointed at the actors isn't moving, and the model is making you seasick from the way that it looks.
Yes, I got that on that ride at Robin Hill, that 4D experience. Must have been, I did.
How often are you going to Robin Hill?
Oh, we've got a pass. You just go as many times. It's a very nice place to go.
Got a regular pass, yeah.
Oh, okay. Because I saw a few weeks ago when you went, and I thought, oh, cool. And then a week later, you were there again. Yeah, and a week later, you were there again.
The third thing.
She sits in the same.
It was Needles.
Oh, the Needles. Oh, yes. Right. Okay. Yeah, she always sits in the same spot on that swinging.
It's either one end or the other.
Yeah, the swinging ship.
The Colossus. Yeah. That 4D experience is basically a 3D cinema with a ride in it. Right. Unfortunately, I didn't mind it going at the first couple of times, but where it's the same film over and over again, I get more and more nauseous every time I watch it. So she goes in on her own now.
Now, isn't that the same place where they're going to have the Radiophonic Workshop performing later on?
Yes.
You're having to skip?
Yes, that's the one, yes. I can't go there. I mean, the park is closed during the festival anyway. Oh, I've got a friend who goes. Okay. Who's this from? See if there's anybody interesting. Who? Oh, it's a beauty therapy person. Oh.
Wasn't anything Doctor Who either.
No. Back to the story. Yes, basically, if you go to episode 2 and 10 minutes and 26 seconds in, Kirby.
Yes.
The Doctor and Leela hide behind a giant rock, which they must be so heavy because the rock moves under the weight of them leaning against it. Quite considerably,
yeah.
Fast-forwarding, it does enhance that quite a lot.
Yes, it does move. Cool. That rock is... That must be the only rock in the entire cave, because that's the same rock that everyone else puts the marker on and then takes the marker off strangely, and K-9 rolls past it going one direction and then rolls past it going another direction. It's a very familiar rock.
I'll tell you what, though. These guards aren't particularly good at searching, are they?
Just... There's a moving blanket right next to them. Yeah, they've got them.
I do like their hoods. I mean, kept thinking.
They could do a wash.
Every time I see their hoods, I keep going, look at that grommet.
Yes.
And the costumes kind of anticipate the Power Shoulder 80s.
Oh, yes.
Mm. Yes.
Very sensational looking.
Yeah, anyway. So they meet up with, is this Edas?
Yes.
Yes. I see what you say about that rock that's appeared again. Who needs a bit of a bath. And there's lots of this sort of
effect. He's a trog, isn't he? They call them the trogs.
Aren't those trogs those little... Oh, they're a band in the 60s,
weren't
they?
Yeah.
It means cave dweller.
No, it doesn't. It
means troglodyte.
It's
troglodyte, yes.
Yeah. I feel it in my fingers. I feel it in my toes. Is that the trogs?
I don't know.
It was wet, wet, wet as well.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Love is all for troglodyte,
yeah.
Yeah, that's another one where Ian passed up. I've already read his script for today, and he passed up
obvious spoiler
song.
Person, aren't you?
He passed up one obvious song he could have used. He could have used something from the Trogs as well.
Yes, indeed. But there's a song that I thought of actually for today, which will be opening the show. Or by the time you get to this part of the podcast, would have already opened.
Are you singing it?
No.
Is it something about the quest?
No, it's nothing to do with the quest, no.
The quest is the quest.
No, I can't remember what it was now.
But the quest is the quest.
Yeah.
I'll probably forget now.
He keeps sending Leela back and forth to the ship for supplies to fix Idas, is that his name?
Idas.
Idas.
Yeah, and one of those times, she should bring the pacifier gun with her.
Yeah, she should. I'm amused by that little surveillance camera. They only filmed that once.
Delightful.
And they kept showing that? It again.
I guess. Sorry, talking about an inappropriate song. Yes, sorry, yes, he was showing me something. To interrupt.
The show begun with. Yes, Skyfall. It's a James Bond film. Have you heard it?
Oh, the Skyfall, yeah.
M gets killed.
I'm sure that Matthew has heard of it, but I'm not even sure who Matthew is anymore.
Anyway, back to the story.
Sorry, Kirby, what were you saying?
I like that surveillance camera thing.
There's lots of good surveillance cameras in this story.
That surveillance camera, they only filmed it once and just kept reusing it. And if you look at it closely, it isn't moving along the rail. They're moving the rail very smoothly to make it look like it's moving.
Are they?
I know which
bit you're talking about now. Yeah. Anyway, it's a bit where they're trying to sort of fumigate people out of these computers. Are quite funny, aren't they? High-tech technology. The computers in the corridor with the tapes on them.
They look just like Eddie the Computer from Hitchhikers.
And also the same computer they use in Spearhead from space.
Hi there.
I like
when Tom Baker's going through the smog, using the scarf to waft it away.
Idas gets knocked out and Leela very carefully and
did you notice when the doctor is fixing Edas's foot and he goes, "Oh, stinks, does it?" And he's got a great big smile on his face. That's a kiss.
That's on the next episode. So basically we finish the episode with the doctor looking like he's about to be overcome by the fumes.
Isn't it the beginning of part three? It goes back quite a long way.
It does, yes. So that helps us really, because they're padding it, aren't they, Mary?
Time filler.
Lots of filler in this story, which doesn't bother me a bit.
That's 2.5 minutes of going backwards. This bloke looks like the bloke out of Fawlty Towers.
Manuel?
No, it was one of the Fawlty Towers stories. Manuel. Where there was a policeman in it, and Fawlty was getting irritated by this policeman. He didn't know it was a policeman until the end of the story.
One of these guys was in Fawlty Towers. Let me find him.
Oh,
it was him then.
He's quite a bit character in this one. This is after Fawlty Towers. Which character? There was an episode in which...
the episode of Fawlty Towers you're talking about. Which character in Underworld?
He was, you know,
one of the guards.
Yeah, one of the guards, the sort of sidekick of
Klimt, is it?
Oh, I can't remember his name.
Oh, by the way, in The Hand of Fear, this is from the infotext. There's a lecture on the medical necessity of feeling physical pain. Wonderful thing, pain. And on the page, Dr. Equivocate. Okay. Anyway, that was the same. Since that was a Bob Baker,
is this going somewhere, Kirby?
Yes. We're back with the doctor grinning about the medicine.
Oh yes,
hurting. That was something that Baker and Martin came up with for the doctor back when they first got K-9.
So the
doctor refers to the needing the little bit of pain to make you feel better. And that's why he's grinning about it in this.
Okay.
Oh, well, there you go.
Fair enough. All right.
Anyway,
being masochist.
Barry Letts has been tied up a bit there. Oh, now I've just realised that bit at the beginning of the story. Well, not the beginning of when they are on this planet and they're rounding up all the peasants and stuff and they round him up. Now I've just realised who he is, apart from the fact he looks like Barry Letts. He's Edas's dad.
Yes.
Mm. Yes.
Edmond.
Yeah. You're talking about the actor Jay Neal. He was in Fawlty Towers, definitely.
Klimt, there you go, yes. Yeah,
yes.
Jay Neal.
Yeah. Not looking up Wikipedia, are you, by the way, Deb?
Yes, I am.
I've got notes.
Yeah, no, Kirby's name's changed to Debbie too. That's going to be a bit confusing, isn't it?
Not again. We had this problem last week.
So, yes, there's a...
More I can tell Debbie's feeling a lot better. She is very lively.
So, anyway...
First time out since
they really do overuse that stupid green
the tree
laser.
Yeah,
effect.
What they're called
oh, and then
tree,
they
yes.
fly down that sort of weird corridor where they're actually standing up and just moving their arms. And ooh. Tom Baker sort of lifts his scarf up a little bit to make it rather pathetic.
I thought that was funny. I like that. And
give me a break.
yes, we know you don't like it. I thought that was funny. I remember liking that back in 1981 too.
Anyway, so we end up in the domain or the in a sanctum of the Oracle, where
well, it's like the people that are doing it are making fun of it while they're doing it.
Yes,
P7E.
Is that what it is?
That was Persephone.
I think that's yeah, exactly. Yeah, P7E.
These are references to Jason the Argonauts. But very clever.
One more time, Kirby. We didn't get it the first five times.
Persephone.
Mary's getting irritated. This could be fun.
Oh dear!
Right. Okay, so they've got. It's a James Bond scene, this, isn't it? Where they got the.
We expect you to die.
yes.
I love that scene. So yeah,
the sword hot. I can't believe the sword is actually on fire.
So yeah, he's on the table. He's just about to die, but in a sort of will make it. Long and drawn out, so people have got a chance to rescue them, sort of.
The
way.
Sword of Damocles, yes.
Yes. So basically, there's so many scenes like this. Normally, a woman, though, isn't it? A beautiful woman tied up on these tables on this occasion.
But it's the feels in this one. It's his dad.
Yeah. Oh, I jump back then. Obviously, he doesn't want to go any further forward in this story. Yeah, I must admit, I seem to remember starting to get irritated by this laser effect, and also the sound effect that went with it. And there's other little sound effects I found a bit... Ow!
You're right.
Found them, ow!
Sorry, a back spasm.
He's having a spasm,
because I'm leaning over to the microphone to try and be quiet, and it's not doing my back any good.
We haven't really got our podcast voices on today.
Try and move over in a slightly different way. What was I on about? What was I talking about
spasms.
Before the pains? No, before the spasms. I was talking about something. These effects.
Basically,
there was a bit where... In the Oracle thing, you know that little sort of lift came up with the little golden things on them. The quest.
The bank, yeah.
That noise as it came up. And they did a lot of this in old Doctor Who, and for some reason in this
race
story,
bank, that was it.
I found it a bit irritating. Now this chap here, that's Alan Lake. Yes, he was Diana Dawes's husband. He was extremely good in this story.
He was, wasn't he?
When he was being tortured, he really did put his heart
it's
and soul
like
into
it proved
that
to
part.
Him he was alive after regenerating, God knows how many. It was 100,000 years they'd been journeying to find the bank. So yeah, it's almost like when he said, right, I'm going to basically die.
Roberman. Roberman's helmet he was wearing. Do you remember that bit?
Sorry?
Kirby can't remember. The Roboman helmet he's wearing when he's being tortured, Kirby.
Oh, yes. It's from Green Death.
Was it? Okay, apparently it was. It looks a bit like me at the moment.
Yeah, I think it's from the Green Death.
Okay, but I thought it looked more like the Roboman helmets. But if you say it's from the Green Death,
I'll prove it.
Now, that reminded me of something. When they took their... little sort of woolen things off and revealed a very surprising...
They're meant to look like the bank, I think.
Yeah, but they look something like something else. And I can't think what it is. It's something they reminded me of something.
Something from Hugo Gernsback's Science and Invention in 1925.
Yeah. And it looks like the little characters in Despicable Me.
That's true.
It does, actually,
minions,
yeah.
Yes.
Well, they are minions.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway.
Some more excellent polystyrene work.
Yeah,
there.
So they'll...
But I have another question. My question is, if this P7E had colonists from Minyos on it, where did these helmet head guys come from, these seekers?
Explain.
Did they pick them up somewhere, or did they invade?
I thought that the Oracle made them.
Yeah,
is what I got. And the fact that their heads look like the when you see the gold tubes finally at the end, they look like those the guardians of the Oracle. So I don't know if it was something like that. Maybe I was reading too much into it.
I don't remember an explanation at all about where they came from.
Yeah, so I hadn't really worried about that one, to be honest with you. Anyway, meanwhile, in the story, the Doctor and Leela have decided to sort of infiltrate some area by hiding in rail cart things.
Not really made clear why they went through all that, just to come out and be shot and shoot the guards anyway.
Well, it was...
Oh,
the reference was...
Oh, it's open, that's all right. Sorry.
To me, while watching it, even back in 1981.
The show is just coming in.
Good grief.
She's smiling. Oh, my God.
Master?
You got wind, have you?
No, stop it.
Master?
Yes? Shut up, canine.
No, I just want to make sure she's all right. Quickly, before the dog starts barking.
I cut my finger open. Do I see it?
No, I don't. Could you get in there before the... It's lovely. Get in there before the dog barks. Why is he not in here anyway? Let's have a look. Come and show me your finger in a minute. But
look at it.
Get in there and stop the dog barking.
See my little air guts, like breathing.
Get in there. Your mother's going to go berserk.
There you go.
Go and see him. Grief. Surrounded by twits.
I don't remember what I was going to talk about.
Well, try and remember.
That's
the most words we've got out of co-founder of the show for ages. She was just about to show me this revolting wound.
K9's having a meltdown.
Is he?
Yeah.
God, literally. I'm bothered now after all that. Right then, where do we get up? So we were talking about the end of the episode.
Go on,
where
Kirby. What were you going to say?
He's trying to remember.
Remember what my point was anymore.
Well, we'll go back. Basically, the Doctor and Leela are in the box, a cart full of polystyrene rocks.
Oh, yes. That was obvious even in 1981 to me to be a surrogate for Odysseus escaping from Polyphemus the Cyclops.
They mention Ulysses, don't they?
Mention Ulysses, indeed they do. Is it really worth having the quiz this
Roman,
week?
Whatever.
Yeah, so basically the looks like...
Pass it out if you like.
Well, actually, no, you will not. What happens to him? That
he just collapses from old age and clumsiness, I think.
Allowing the Doctor and Leela to plunge into something or other.
Going where... Because the rock... Yes. They
oh,
live
yeah,
off
that's
the
where
rock.
The rocks get all mashed
Did you notice,
up?
Though, yeah. when the thing tilted over, the rocks made a really strange noise, a sort of a... Talking about diddlydums, episode 4 begins.
Somebody pulled my dad.
And that's
used
a long
pullback.
Here we go. How long back? How do we go back with it before they? And they end up hanging by their fingernails, don't they, to actual cart itself? Mm-hmm. Ooh, that annoyed Mary. I can see by the. Mm-hmm. This is where I sort of zoned out while watching this particular
and
story.
They come up with the idea here in this episode that. Let's give them what they want and they'll go away. Ha, 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 ha. You know, it's like we're going to give them...
But it's not really what... Yeah, so they're trying to fool Herrick into believing he's actually taking the real... What are these things called again?
Bank.
I can talk about... I can actually play back that really annoying
banks.
Sound effect if I can find it now.
The gene bank, yes.
Here we go. Kirby and Mary won't be able to hear this, but therefore if I very cleverly do this, the listeners will be able to... Listen to the awful sound effect I was referring to. That'll include you, by the way. That's a benefit of being sat here, not on the other end of the world. That's the sort of sound effect I'm referring to when I say what a load of rubbish. But it's quite a good design, and I like the design of the actual things themselves. I thought it was really good. It's just the sound effect was naff. Herrick comes back. We've got what we wanted. The quest is over, and they sort of swan back to the ship. I have to paraphrase it because basically the Doctor then arrives and soon finds out that they haven't actually got the real, what are they called again?
Gene Bank.
Gene Bank, that's it. They've actually got a Belm.
A
Belm. And, so the Doctor wants to round up all the people off the planet.
I know they've been so focused on the quest that they don't really question the fact that all these people... are their people. They don't question, they're
that,
not bothered
then.
At all,
that's
are
the
they?
Real gene pool, isn't it?
Exactly.
But anyway, so...
Master? Master? I think the headphone thing was from Planet of the Spiders, not Green Death. I will confirm and post pictures later have a chance. But it's the very same
it
one.
It does matter, of course, so you must try and find out, because it's really important, isn't it, Mary?
Oh, very important.
Yes, it is.
No, it is important.
It's probably from both.
Breath, Kirby,
the quest
so better,
is the quest, Kirby.
Better do it soon.
It's probably from both, Kirby. I think you're probably fine.
Recycle?
Yes. BBC, saving money. Saving our money, actually.
Oh, yeah, their feet disappeared there.
Yes. So, at the end of the day, the Doctor tells everybody to get on the spaceship because he knows there's going to be a bit of a bang because he's swapped them back around again. Mm-hmm. So they've actually really have got the gene pool now. Which is quite clever, but predictable.
Yeah, because they think that because they've taken them, they collapse the tunnel that they're in and get the Trogs to dig them out, and K-9 saves the day. And
but that whole setup of him sort of realising and swapping them around and going back again, and the Oracle saying, oh no, we've had, that's a funny one, try again, Doctor. You could see that happening a mile off, but it was still quite good fun to watch. So they all get their comeuppance. And then, of course, the commander of the ship says, oh no, we can't take off with all this weight on her, kick them off. And the Doctor knows full well the Big Bang is going to blast them away from the planet anyway. And that's a very abrupt end of the story, funny enough. And the Doctor goes back
now,
to
his thinking. Now, why didn't the Doctor just take them all in the TARDIS?
Because, I don't know, I can't really answer that question. Why didn't he take them in the TARDIS, Debbie?
Because he was painting, he's decorate, got the decorators in. He doesn't want them to see
it. They've got no more fuel, they've got no more power. How they're going to get to Minos 2, we have no idea.
No, exactly. unless they can ride the blast now, all the way there. Yeah, 300
But it's like,
years.
You know, bye-bye, good luck to you all.
I've done my bit.
Shut up, K-9. Yeah, go on, yes.
There is, what's the actor's name who played Herrick? Alan Lake. Yes. Alan Lake was contributing things to this story all the time.
Yes.
And towards the end, and they even have this in one of the extras, he was arguing that his character wouldn't necessarily know there was going to be 370 years off the top of his head.
Right.
The director was saying that 370 years to get from where they were to Minos 2 or whatever it is. And he wanted, what was that?
It was Minos 2, yeah, sorry.
She's agreeing with you.
He wanted Herrick to look at a screen to read the number, and the director said, no, Herrick will just know this. And he does sort of perform it that way, except if you watch the scene, he glances to one side very quickly as if he's seeing it on the screen, so he was able to sneak it in there anyway.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay, let's talk about what we thought of the story. Well, I'm going to start first because it's my show. That actually, I know I said I zoned out. But
I thought you were going to let Mary start.
No, I'm not going to do that now. I've changed my mind.
Sorry, Mary.
No,
back of the line as always.
I did zone out a little bit because I know the story quite well. But whilst watching it, this on the very limited time I had to watch it this week. So thank God it was only a four-parter. I quite like this story. I think it stands on its own because of the CSO thing and the fact that they made the most of a low budget and they had a really good band of actors, lots of extras. So imagine they could afford all these extras, not so much on the actual scenery. And I think they just made a really good job of what they had and turned it into an extraterrestrial story. I thought everybody was on really good form. There was a couple of minorly irritating things, but at the time wouldn't have been irritating. I mean, in the 70s, it would have been just normal 70s science fiction tech, you know, special effects. So on the whole, I thought it was a very good adaptation of the Jason of the Argonauts story. I thought, and they like to do that in a lot of modern day things, do adaptations of old things. Stephen Moffat has done it with a series, apparently it's quite good, called Sherlock. Paramount Studios have done it with a long-term franchise and completely rewrote the history so that it never happened, of a thing called Star Trek.
Brilliant.
So, yes, it happens a lot. So, I liked it. Go on, Mary, you have to go from
there. Yeah, go on.
You sure?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, this ought to be interesting.
Well, I don't have any argument, you know, with the CSO, you know, yeah, it's bad, but at that time period, you know, everybody was doing it. And so you just were used to it. My problem with the story partly is that the people were not acting as much as they were like walking through their parts. Other than that, is it Henrik, and Leela? Those were the only two that I thought were turning in some decent performances. Everybody else seemed to be, you know, half asleep doing their part. So it's hard to get interested in a story that the actors don't act like they're invested in. And questions, I just kept asking questions because things were just happening that made no sense to me. like I said, about the pacifier gun. I thought that would be a great thing to use. And why make a big deal out of it in the beginning if you do nothing with it later? And the science in it is rubbish. I mean, there's no such thing as a space a spaceship becoming a planet because it attracts things to it.
There is in this story.
Well, you know, there may be in this story, but you know, they
Mary,
talk about it as
science
if, oh,
fiction,
yes, that's
fantasy
what happens.
TV show.
Yeah.
And if exactly. if both ships left Minos at the same time, how did the P7E get so far ahead that it did become a planet that much farther away, enough that it becomes like solid rock? I mean, it wasn't just loose stuff, it was solid rock.
I didn't think it left at the same time.
Well, when they said that they took off when Minos was destroyed, so I'm assuming that the two of them took off at or close to the same time. And then why is there no regenerative ability on P7E that they think all those people died off?
Well, the machine that they were regenerated in was on the ship, wasn't it? But it obviously
well, it was
on
the ship that was the quest ship, but it wasn't on the survivor's ship.
Maybe
and it would make
destroyed.
Sense where you have more people that you'd have that capability.
Yeah, but maybe it got destroyed when you know in the time in between then and when the other ship arrived.
Yeah,
and if Minos is at one end of the universe and this thing that they were being drawn into is at the other end. Where's Minos 2? And if there is a Minos 2, why didn't they just go to that? Why did they go all the way to the other end of the universe? I mean, they could have just said, we'll see you in Minos 2. And they could have met up with them there. Why was this ship seemingly so adrift if they had a target?
It's
a big question.
Well, they sort of made out that they were the only four who were on the ship with the regenerating equipment, didn't they?
Mm.
And that there was some sort of escort thing that had gone wrong.
Mm.
But yeah, you would have thought they would at least put one on one ship and one on the other.
One on another. Yeah. And like I said, if they had a target, why were they so, you know, way off target? Why did the one have to chase down the other?
The story, but
wormhole?
I too wondered, why did the doctor have to tell him that, hey, look around you, these people are the gene pool. Why are you worried about, you know, these little cylinders and trying to get rid of all these people? I mean, my questions just kind of go on and on. Everything
Your
that was going on was making
question.
Me say, why are they doing that? And where did those, you know, bullet-headed creatures come from? We talked about that earlier.
Made by the article.
That's me. I mean, I just found myself so not invested, partly because of the actors and partly because nothing made sense to me. Oh, and they say the cylinders have the mark of Minos on them. Mm. Well, you know, you see those marks, you know, made in Mexico, made in India. I mean, would we say this was made on Earth?
Of course.
Why would they put a planet mark on a... on something that was made. And there were two things that what the doctor found in that little room that they arrived in. He said it had some kind of a Minos mark on it. I'm thinking, who would make something that had a planet mark on it? But anyway.
Okay.
So that's me. You know, I'm not involved in the story because I had too much didn't make sense.
You know, this was all about a quest, don't you, Mary?
Mm-hmm.
Your quest is to watch it again. Debbie, what did you think of it?
Well, it's hard to say, really, because I really enjoyed the fact that it was sort of referencing sort of the Greek myths and things like that. I really enjoyed that. But I was really angry that after all this questing, quest, that, yes, that they completely disregarded the fact that these trogs were them, the gene pool is right there in front of them, and they're too busy sort of wandering through going, where are these things? Quest is the quest. But I did like the fact that at the beginning, when they're discussing the fact that they're on a minion ship, that the doctor reveals that's why they don't intervene, the Time Lord policy of not intervening, because they did too much with the original minions or minions.
And they're not intervening now, they're just letting the ship gonna go on until
exactly.
it
yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, just gonna let it float around a bit, yeah. they must have had a can of gas or something on the TARDIS he could give them or something, I don't know. But yeah, it just was, there's ups and downs throughout the whole story, but on the whole, I really enjoyed it. It was fun to watch, and there was a lot of chewing of scenery, literally in some cases. Mm. But yeah, it was fun to watch, and the references were brilliant. I enjoyed it.
You're getting distracted, Kirby.
Why?
Kirby
you asked
Bartlett
me to post
posted
that.
A photo on the thing about.
Well, go take a look at it.
Give him a project and he goes quiet on us.
Right. He's found the picture, yes. The planet of the spiders and underworld. Yes. Yeah.
Right, therefore, Kirby.
Two more jewels on the underworld one.
What did you think of this one? I loved it.
I did love it. And the interesting thing about it is that I saw it in, what was it, 1981, and I couldn't remember the name of it or anything. I vaguely had remembered through the years that there was one based on Greek myths, although I kept thinking, oh, that's Nimon. That's the Horns of Nimon.
Yes.
I'd forgotten that there was a second one. And when I watched this the second time through, I remember really enjoying it the first time, and I just had a blast watching this two more times.
But when you had a blast, did it have a little like a green laser come out of it?
This was fun. I didn't need to nitpick it. Yes, I nitpick Doctor Who all the time. I just enjoyed this one. I guess I was being nostalgic from seeing it in 1981, and it didn't bother me that, yes, the holes are there, Mary, and I've picked on things even more minor, but something about this one, there was no reason to pick holes in it.
There
it
you
was
go.
Just fun.
So I could again, overlook, you know, a few questionable things, but for me, you know, it just kept going and going until it's like, I give up. I don't understand where any of this is coming from.
Okay. Well, it would be interesting that we all would like a story. So,
I made a mistake earlier. I said it was in 1979. It aired here. It's 1978.
Not allowed to make mistakes.
I know.
I never
I'm
make
sorry.
Them.
All right. Okay.
Sorry. Kirby makes them all the time. But, so. Yeah. Anyway, right. So I think it's time we moved on to a bit of feedback. Trouble is, I've got to find it now. It's on here somewhere. This fangled computer doodah. Yeah, let's have a look. Well, I've got to turn the little doodah on it. So
the doodah fangled computer doodah.
I have got almost. Oh, what's this one? If I give them my bank details, I can have 85... What the hell? It's a lucker.
A luck.
Oh, a luck, is it?
Yeah.
So I've got to give my bank details to them, and then they'll send me some money. Isn't that lovely? Okay. Ooh.
Send them the Doctor Who theme tune.
Well, good evening, 20 Megabyters. It's 8 minutes past nine on Saturday the 31st of May. Sitting in a lounge on a laptop. We've got our desktop back, but I can't get the email accounts to work, so I'm going to play with this. And
with
this is
a very quiet
nice
audio recording device.
Spanish Pinot Grigio, so... raise my glass to Adam and Debbie. Congratulations on your latest wedding anniversary. Slightly ahead of us. We've been 17 years this year, but congratulations to both of you. Anyway, I've sat and watched Underworld, and... I don't know what to say about it, really. I mean, it really was. I mean, the only clever bit, I guess, about it was using the mythology of Jason the Argonaut, like Persephone. They picked some bits of that. So, for anyone who knows classical mythology, can understand where that came from. But really, the story itself was just. Well, it took an hour and a half to do not very much. Really, so it's not
tainted by Mary.
Playing controls at the time, it's really dangerous because God knows what she could do with this. And obviously, she got rather worried when she pressed the button and something happened. And then the doctor came out in his smock and his beret. Obviously, we didn't notice a bit of painting. I think it was sort of painting canine nude or something. I don't know. However, he starts off with that. Then they found this nebula. They went into it and landed on a spaceship. And the doctor went in and took control. So I like the way he went in and took hands with Jackson. Now we've got the pacifier. Yes. Now, how many people here have seen Flesh Gordon?
No,
I have.
What a surprise!
There they were, a crew of four. Now, you get the impression there used to be more of them. They've all been sort of regenerated, vitalised for 100,000 years, and one or two have gone a bit too far in terms of their lifespan and decided to opt out. So. We must admit, he probably would actually. 100,000 years is probably far too long to go on.
He went on about farts again, he did that
but
last
anyway,
week.
The doctor comes in and takes control, so when he works out what's happening with the spaceship becoming turning into a planet effectively because of the gravitational attraction pulling all the rocks towards it. I mean, basic physics, really. You're surprised the spaceship crew didn't understand that themselves. Then he works out how to get out of it. But yeah, you're going to blast your way out of it, but the rocks still be attached to you, so don't really see how that worked.
And it wouldn't have, but it was fun.
Quite happily going to carry on.
It was a good cliffhanger.
At the Doctor's command. So they got into the Landula planet, worked out what the planet was. It was actually Persephone, or P7E, beg your pardon.
And government off Herrick went, isn't it, P7E?
And he met Officer Clint. Didn't make his day, did he, though? Hey ho. But then it seemed to be a lot of running literally through corridors as they tried to get into the wherever the centre was. You got these, seems to be three categories of people. You got the slaves, you got the masters, and you got the seers. Yeah, well, what were they all? And it did turn out, obviously, in the end, it was very much like 2001. So you got a Howl type figure. 2001 Howl was a computer that went mad and basically wanted to run things his own way. And the crew wanted to go and get these race banks, and they got given two things they thought were the race bank, and the quest was over. So it's like, yeah, 100,000 years, where do you go from here? I mean, what do you do the rest of your life? You do rather wonder. It seems to be rather sort of, oh, well, that's it, yeah, we've got these things, right, we're now done. But of course it wasn't, it was the grenades, actually, wasn't it? So, again, it's just running around, you've got the doctors captured and taken prisoner, then they escape very easily, don't they? Use a sword, which again goes back to the classical mythology, using the sword as the fulcrum to open the portal, I suppose you could call it, to open the portal up, and off you went. And then the doctor got the real race bank things and took them off, and they found out these were grenades, and so they got back the ship, and the grenades went back into the portal and became the booster to get the P7A out and away with all the new people. And that's interesting as well, because Jackson was going mad, so he tried to throw people off the bridge and out the ship, and didn't seem to realise, yeah, these are in fact his own people, they're his predecessors. You know, he was the great to the power of umpteen million
great-grandfather. Yeah.
But that was it. It was an hour and a half of running up and down corridors, really, wasn't it? You had the bit with the doctor turning gas off, and he didn't seem to be affected by gas, and Herrick didn't seem to be affected by gas at all. When they blew the door down, he was just standing aside. Hang on, he's just standing in a gas-filled chamber. Shouldn't he be dead or something? And the special effects. Well, I mean, it didn't help if I was watching it through Daily Motion and YouTube, because I don't have a copy of this myself. But special effects were, what is he, bloody awful.
Martin bloody
Baker
awful.
Did some really good stuff in a time. And they wrote this, didn't they? So, unfortunately, not one of the best ones. So, yeah, that's an hour and a half of my life I'll never again, at least I managed to get all the ironing done, which I, as you know, I normally do. So, so there you go. So, anyway, onwards and upwards to the next one. Can't wait.
Blame Kirby, Andy.
What Kirby's told me it is.
No, what's the randomizer?
He wishes that.
And be seeing you.
The quest is the quest.
Thank you, Andy.
Thank you,
Kirby
Andy.
Always says, no, it's a randomizer, but if something good comes up, he said he'll take credit for it. So.
No, I won't. It's a randomizer there, too. This was number 152 out of 156 of on the classic only popular from Doctor Who magazine. Let's see. It's number 236 of 241.
Okay. Well,
Twin Dilemma is still on the bottom.
That's stupid, because Twin Dilemma is good.
Right, I don't then. Understand why.
Okay, the next one is from Jeff
Wobbles. By the way, Fear Her is just above Twin Dilemma.
Really?
Nonsense.
Where it belongs, yes.
Nonsense. Right then. Jeff Waddle, you can do that one, Debbie.
I like underwear. The frillier, the better. On a woman, obviously, unless it's the weekend. However, I do not like Underworld.
Debbie, no, I said to read Jeff's email, not preach about what you think of Underworld.
That is brilliant.
Okay, right. Another bit of audio. And it goes like this.
Hello, 20 Megawatt Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. Underworld by Baker and Martin. Greek myths and blue screen and the low budget. We start off on a spaceship which is so near the edge of the universe that they don't need stars on the special effects shots. We were soon underground with mistreated miners, a favourite theme of Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. There is an old man who is in trouble for preaching that the stars exist. I wonder if he's related to Binro the Heretic from the Rebus operation. Apparently half their episode was blue screen, but I was distracted by all the shots of Leela.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That bridge where Herrick gets captured looks a lot like a one in a William Hartnell story, The Keys of Marinus.
Yeah.
The bit of the plot was creaky, where the Face of Evil style computer had prepared a duplicate set of cylinders. And then it took just long enough to realise the wrong ones had been returned. Why do they have covers to put on the trucks full of rocks?
Yes.
Is it just so the Doctor and Leela can hide in them? Twice.
Keeps the dust down.
Russell Davies reused the idea of a planet forming around an alien with the Arachnos. If all the mistreated miners in Doctor Who were led end to end, they would go on strike or something. That's it, I'm off. Bye for now.
Master.
Thank
Master.
You, Ian.
Yes, Master. Thank you, Ian. Yes, K9.
It just occurred to me with the old man thinking about stars, wondering, preaching that the stars exist. Remember that Star Trek episode, probably season 3, For the World is Hollow and I've Touched the Sky? Yes. Wasn't that an old man who said the same thing?
Probably. Yeah, but they nicked it off Doctor Who. They always do. Even if it's the time zones out. Right.
That was before this
story. I know
story.
It was, but I like to say, because oh, never mind. I'm going to get into a long argument. It makes them sound like I don't like Star Trek, but I'm very disappointed I've lost my blue box set of the original series.
No.
Oh, no, it's hidden in the corner over there under a pile of Doctor Who stuff.
Okay, all
it's
right.
My Doctor Who corner. It's now time for this week's edition of Debbie Wins, You Won't Get This One.
Now you've said that, I probably wasn't paying enough attention.
Question goes to Mary.
Ah, okay.
What is the Doctor apparently doing at the beginning of the story?
Painting?
Correct.
Okay. Yes.
I wonder how long it will be that she retains
painting
the lead.
Painting what remains
yes.
His face, by the looks of things.
Yeah.
TARDIS corridors.
He's whitewashing the walls.
Yes. Debbie.
Yes.
What is the first thing the TARDIS encounters after Leela stops the time rotor from going up and down? By pressing buttons and stuff. What's the first thing they encounter?
Master?
I'll make a guess.
I'm sorry, Kirby's already come in.
Nothing.
Shut up, K-9.
No. Kirby?
A nebula.
Nearly.
No, I was going to say the edge of the universe.
No, I'll give a point to Kirby. It was a spiral nebula, but that's near enough. Kirby?
Master.
What civilization was apparently destroyed over 100,000 years ago?
The Minions.
Correct.
Of Minyas.
Minions of Minyas.
I will say, this story is one of the,
see, I knew
one
that
of the
one.
Most difficult story to write questions for I've ever had. waiting for some
But they
fact.
Marked everything that came from their planet as Minyas.
Yeah, but waiting for different facts to come up during the watching. And
yeah, and there aren't too many.
See, I'm not going to win this one.
I did enjoy it.
One thing, Master.
Yes.
One thing was interesting reading the info text. How many shots they had of people running up and down corridors that they reused in other episodes. They
okay.
just needed to fill so much time
yeah,
that you see
them.
The same shot all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right, Mary.
Yes.
What did the Doctor tell Leela never to play with?
Never to play with.
Yes.
He was painting?
No, Debbie knows.
Is it weapons? Guns?
Certain type of weapons. Sorry,
blasters?
I have to get. No, I'm sorry,
no,
I'm not going to give it that one.
Strange weapons.
Yeah, I'll give you a point, Kirby. Shouldn't do, because that's the third person to answer. Have a go at that question. Strange weapons, right then. Kirby.
Master.
After being pacified, what does Leela think is a beautiful name?
Ah.
No.
Work?
Pardon, what did you say?
Herrick?
Oh, I know. Is it Orff?
It is Orff.
Orff.
Okay. Right. Whose question is it now?
Mary's.
Debbie's.
No, it's Mary's, isn't it?
I've lost it now.
Is it? Who's Mary it? Debbie Kirby. So it was Kirby.
Yeah, but
just
how
now.
Can that be? Because I'm on question six. Because that would be. Hang on, let's work it out. Mary, Debbie, Kirby. Mary, Debbie, Kirby.
Yes.
Therefore, it should be Kirby's question.
What? Who? It was Kirby's question.
Oh, it was.
Oh, yeah. So therefore. Well, it can't be. That way, because it's question number six. So this is Kirby's question now.
No.
If not.
Can't be.
It's not. Somebody's missed.
Did you skip somebody because someone else answered a question? You thought it was there?
Possibly. Right. The first question. And then it was. And there was civilization being apparently destroyed.
Did Debbie get two questions?
I don't know. No. Nope. It was, what did the doctor tell...
No, she didn't.
What did the doctor tell Leela never to play with? Who had that question? Who's that?
That was me who had that question, wasn't it?
That was you. Well, that was wrong, then. That should have been Mary's question.
No, yeah, you asked me that question.
Oh, right, okay.
Oh, I did. All right. Therefore, that your question then, Debbie, should have been, after being pacified, was what does Leela think is beautiful?
Yeah.
So, therefore, this is Kirby's question. I said all along, Mr. Bartlett.
So I got
slow.
2 points for that one, then.
But you said me.
Yeah, you asked Kirby right. That question.
I said Orff.
Yes.
Did you?
Yes.
No, you didn't. I thought
I
Kirby
said
Orff.
No, I said Orff.
Yes, she answered it properly.
She answered it, yeah. But you asked Kirby.
So she gets 2 points.
Back on track.
Right, so therefore, you don't get that point then. I've just given you Kirby. Is that correct?
I have no idea.
You didn't give me a point.
What's my name?
Because I didn't get it right. I said Herrick. Debbie said Orff.
You didn't get it right.
So therefore, this should
we're
be your
right.
question.
We're all right. Back on track.
This should therefore be Kirby's question.
Okay. That's it.
What had each ship member done over 1,000 times?
Regenerated.
Correct. Right.
Amazing.
I think we'd better have a score count after I've got very confused. In last place, with 2 points, Mary and Debbie, and in the lead with 6 points, is Matthew. No, it's not Kirby. Right, Mary.
That's not possible.
Mary.
Yeah.
Who is the Doctor's second best friend?
K9.
Correct. Debbie.
Yep.
What is the name of the spaceship's commander?
I love the bulldog
Jackson.
Clips.
Correct. Ow! Ding, 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 ding. Kirby.
Master.
When it looked like the ship was turning into a planet, what did the Doctor suggest might be a way of getting out of the situation?
Blast their way out.
With what?
Laser cannons, I
yes,
guess.
Yes, that's the answer I was looking for. Mary.
Yes?
How many meters had the hull increased to before they finally broke through the rock?
Oh, boy, last number I remember was like 90 meters. Was
wrong. Anybody?
Wrong.
70 meters.
Nope. Want to have a go, Debbie?
80 metres?
No, it was 100 metres.
Yeah.
Debbie?
Yes?
What apparently makes trogs hard workers? Tweeting birds? No.
No. Was it the threat of...
No, it wasn't.
No? Uh-huh.
Anybody?
No.
Mm-mm.
It was a good sacrifice. Kirby?
Oh, yeah.
Master.
Kirby, right. Why is this question has to fall to Kirby? I don't know. What was the James Bond reference in this story?
You said it was Skyfall.
Yes, I did.
I haven't seen Skyfall, but I remember you saying it about half an hour ago.
I concede that it is
therefore...
quite good. I'm not a James Bond fan myself, but Skyfall is a very good movie. Mary.
Was that the one that James Bond parachuted out of over the Olympics for?
I don't think that was in the film. That was just the Olympics.
Yeah.
That was just the Olympics.
Oh,
it was a
okay.
special film for the Olympics with a majesty in it. Right, Mary. What is the spaceship crew's motto?
Oh, this is a hard one.
Yeah.
I know what it is.
Not,
I know what it is. Shut up, K-9.
Mary, it's not this is a hard one. I'm sorry. That's a completely different podcast. And it will probably involve Ben Shoveler. Go on then, Mary.
How about this? And this is just a wild guess. The quest is the quest.
Correct. Debbie.
Yeah,
I have to have ones like that.
Yes.
What are the sacrifices made to... Or who or what are the sacrifices made to?
the Oracle.
It is the Oracle, yep. Otherwise known as Mr. Kirby Bartlett Sloan, who's just about to answer this question. Who made EDAS and the Doctor a map of the tunnel?
Canine.
Correct. I've surpassed myself. It's supposed to be you won't get this one, and every the question's
Kirby
been answered.
Kirby really loved this one, so he's got the right to win.
I like this one.
You've had a couple of toughies in there.
Kirby, you were going to say something?
No. Defending the fact he liked it.
Okay, right. Mary.
Yes?
What did the slaves eat?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the smashed up rock, whatever they did with that rock.
Processed rock.
Okay.
Right, Debbie.
Yes.
What ship were all the slaves descendants of?
P7E. Persephone.
You could just rather illustrates the fact that there was nothing for me to write a question about in this story.
We've referenced
no
everything,
hard information, you know? Yes.
Kirby, who did the Doctor credit his plan to?
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember.
Oh, good. Anybody?
Ulysses.
Yes, Debbie said it right. It's Ulysses. Right, and the scores so
Odysseus.
Far.
Odysseus. Odysseus, Ulysses, yeah.
In last place with 8 points, it's Mary. In second place with 9 points, is pretending to be rubbish, Debbie. And in the lead with 12 points, it's Kirby. This is Mary's question. When Herrick is being tortured and is asked what he is seeking, what is his response?
What is he seeking? The gene bank?
No. Anybody? Obviously not.
I'm wearing headphones from Planet of the Spiders.
No, you didn't get that one. Thank goodness for that. I'm back on form. It was the future. Debbie.
Yes.
What are the Doctor's last words to the Oracle?
Oh, God. Not oh, God, but...
No.
Oh.
Oh. I know I wrote that down.
You did?
Oh, I can't find it now.
Anybody?
No.
No, you got one of the words right there, Kirby, but I can't give you it with that. It was no hard feelings. Kirby.
Okay.
Yes.
Kirby, what tunnel are the Doctor, Leela and Edas thought to be hiding in?
Oh. One of the guys' guards said it. I wasn't writing down tunnel numbers. Sorry.
Oh, dear.
Seven.
Oh, yes, it
Yay.
Was.
Oh, well, there you go. Last minute, yeah.
What? You're kidding.
No, you're doing great.
No, you're right. You're right.
Right, Mary.
Well, it was pure luck.
Mary, when the Doctor said, what kept you K-9 when he blasted them out of the tunnel, what is K-9's response?
Don't remember.
Anybody?
It was something funny, but I don't remember.
Faster, imperative, faster.
It was, in fact, my quote at the beginning of the show, gratitude is unnecessary, speed is vital. Debbie.
Yeah?
Who tried to kick all the people off the spaceship before takeoff?
Jackson.
Correct. Kirby.
Master.
What did the Doctor call Jackson at the end of the story?
Jason.
Correct. 3 questions left. It's all over by the, whatever. Right, you might get some points here. Right, Mary, you won't get this one. What character did Christine Pollan play?
Christine Pollan?
What character did she play?
Yes. That wasn't Tala, was it?
No, it wasn't.
The Oracle.
That's the only other woman.
There were two women. There was a couple of trolls,
weren't there?
Right, Debbie, who composed the incidental music?
Dudley Simpson.
Correct. Final question. It's all over, but never mind. Who was a script editor? Kirby, who was a script editor?
Oh, I know.
Tony Reed, I think.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. Anthony Reed.
You have to be exactly right. I said Anthony Reed, but no, I was right, fair enough. Right then, the final scores then.
It wasn't?
No, it was.
It was Tony Reed.
Yes, he's down as Anthony Reed. I was just being awkward. Final scores then, in last place with 8 points, it's Mary. In second place, and she doesn't keep the scores this week, it's Debbie with 14. And winner.
Did I beat Debbie?
You did.
18 points. It's K-9. Kirby.
Very good.
How did that happen?
You loved the episode.
The usual way.
Matthew, you answered more questions correctly than anybody else.
You loved the episode. You paid more attention. Yes.
Yeah, that has to be the key.
This is Lou Jameson, or Louise Jameson, listen, and you're listening to the 20 megabytes Doctor Who podcast. Rah!
Sorry, there's a bit of a pause while I get another website up and running and see if there's been any Doctor Who news. There's certainly been some pictures appearing.
Wasn't there a certain trailer on last night?
No, there was a terrible trailer. Last night?
Yeah, well, there's no new one.
Two-second one.
Apparently.
One that says August, and there's just a...
There was at 8.30 last night. There was supposed to have been another one, but I wasn't around. I didn't see that one.
Did you see the fake one that was really, really good?
Yes, I did, yeah.
That was really, really good. Is this it? That's the one I saw. The one of the sort of silhouetted
one,
doctor.
There was another one last night.
Oh, I haven't showed it here. What's this here? Teaser trailer. I'm trying to see what date we're on here. Friday the 23rd. That's after our last show, and that wasn't. That was before our last show, so not a lot of news. Apparently BBC One have won a Eurovision award. Best promotion for fictional programme in regards to the Doctor Who 50th anniversary special. Ooh. Of course, Doctor Who won the BAFTA, as I referred to last week, which was a bit annoying considering nobody turned up to actually accept it. There's not really much going on here. Doctor Who Magazine 474.
Which I've already reminded people about.
Oh yeah, the first five decades as voted by you. Is this what you're referring to, the polls?
Yes.
I didn't vote for it. Did you vote for it?
No.
So therefore it doesn't count. So therefore it doesn't count.
Sorry. I didn't vote for the Mighty 200 either, but I still
reference
it.
Yeah, but we didn't vote for it, so it doesn't count. You can tell that bird to shut up, because he didn't vote for it either. Right. Singer-songwriter Foxes to appear in Doctor Who. BBC have reported...
Who is that?
I've got no idea. Foxes.
Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Louisa Rose Allen, better known as Foxes, will feature... And so it's not in relation to Lily Allen.
I have
Lily
no
Allen-ish.
Idea.
Mm-hmm. That's Keith Allen's daughter, by the way. I don't know who Keith Allen is, but he was in Robin Hood. And he was in some other stuff, isn't he? What's he better known for, really, film-wise?
He was in Shallow Grave, Body.
The Americans were there.
Oh.
Barbara Murray.
So she's a singer-songwriter. That must make her a good actor, too.
Barbara Murray passed away at the age of 84.
That'd be like Kylie?
And she played Lady Cranley in Black Orchid. She was rather topical because we did Black Orchid a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. That's it. Adventures in Space and Time nominated for Critics' Choice Award. And it still gets nominated.
Where's
but doesn't actually
bird?
Win anything. It's in outside Mary's window. She's trying to bait her cats into attacking.
Yeah, I have open windows. It's a lovely day, and so you're hearing the birds.
It was quite a nice day here, the day I went back to work after my week off. It's been raining all week. So that concludes the news for this week, which gives us actually time, amazingly, to actually look at eBay again.
Exciting.
It's a laugh, isn't it? eBay is the sort of the padding part of the show when you've got a bit of time left.
Yeah, like replaying, you know, part of the last episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're going to have a new feature on the program.
The quest is the
new
quest.
Feature
is the quest.
That's like a new feature on the show is where the listeners will actually go out and see if they can find Matthew. That's your quest for this week. Find Matthew.
He needs to post a picture of himself on the page, and then we have to.
I found him last
there.
Sunday.
Yeah, you
it's
did,
quite
didn't
funny
you?
That he not mostly goes around wearing a tank top with loads of question marks on it, where he can't be bothered to turn up and actually answer any of the questions he's posed. Anyway,
I think there should be a Where's Matthew section on the page.
Hmm.
It was fun last week to drop by that convention for a few minutes.
Oh, did you see him?
What, you were paying attention?
No, I wasn't. I was busy trying to produce a podcast. I can't do too many things at once.
And also, I remember.
Yeah, I posted a picture of him.
I saw that
a week ago.
And we talked about it last week as well.
Did we? Yeah. still bears the question: what did he say in regards to coming back on the show?
Eventually, I think.
Eventually, yes.
Did he? It's nice of him, isn't it?
Well,
just
where
we know
he got
this.
Come on, I want to speak to him.
Yeah,
since he's a major organizer of the Con Casturberus thing going on
at
the end of the month.
This is still the same thing.
He was saying things like there's some changes at work that are keeping him busy. He's got a new girlfriend and he's working on the convention. So that's
the reason why
women get in the way of podcasts.
He has skipped out on Sunday recordings before because he tends to sleep Sunday afternoons.
Yeah, but it's ideal. I mean, what you could do, appear on the show, then listen to the previous week's show and fall asleep. So I think it's an ideal scenario. Right, anyway, eBay. Last week's top item is still the top item. That's the character building set for $5,000. Surprise, nobody bid on it. Like I said last week, the character's actually... Who was that snoring?
Star.
The character's actually cost £1.99 to buy if you're lucky enough to get those ones. Well, I wouldn't actually mind. If I won the lottery, I might buy them just to sort of be a sort of... A completionist. Mind you, those are all doctors. I have got the rest of them somewhere. Where are the blooming heck out of my set of character figures? Must be in a box somewhere. I did have all of them. They're all gone. Apart from these extra rare ones. Anyway, right. So the second, we'll talk about the second most expensive item listed on eBay this week. It's Doctor Who Monster Invasion Ultimate Special Limited Edition Full Set. Numbers 346 to 476. I must admit, when they list the numbers like that, it doesn't sound like a full set. Mm-hmm. You would thought it would be number 1 to 476. Amy Pond, it's a card of some variety, isn't it? But who's going to pay $4,500 for a few cards? Well, obviously nobody, because nobody's putting any bids against it.
There's only 4 hours left.
Ooh, Kirby, quick. $4,000. He's fallen asleep.
No.
Oh, no, he's still there. Didn't talk about sports either. Anyway, right, so the most expensive item listed on eBay this week in relation to Doctor Who and with bids against it is...
The Bally Doctor Who pinball.
Yeah.
Very nice cabinet and playfield, apparently.
Yes, and it is at...
£920, 12 bids.
Yes.
Crikey.
Yes, I know. Andy Moore would be interested in that. He likes his pinball
machines. 8 days left.
Yeah, so Kirby, hurry up. I don't know how they're going to ship it to the US, but... that looked quite nice in your badge.
I can't even pay any attention to buying Doctor Who stuff off of eBay. Yeah, I cannot afford it.
But that would look nice in your, garage.
I'm saving my money for Con Casturberus in 3 weeks.
Cool.
Mm. Okay, well, K9 hasn't got any bids against it, unfortunately, Deb, so we can't feature it. The second most expensive item listed on eBay this week and with bids against it is a...
Full-size Dalek, life-size on casters in black. £510 with 9 bids.
And that's a very reasonable price for a Dalek. I'd expect to pay about £500 for a Dalek.
I'd like that.
So would I.
But I don't know where I'd put it.
I'd have to have the ring modulator in it.
I'd have to sleep in it, I think.
I'd have to, if you want a ring modulator, you have to buy an
sleep in it.
Hide, get into an argument with someone, hide
to move the
bed
so I can have my Dalek. Sorry, darling, you're ousted to the sofa.
Set up a ring modulator, get an iPod in it, and a program called Exterminate. Yes, I'm rambling. Right,
that's
so we can find the third item. I did actually think about getting my little 18-inch Dalek down there, putting a GoPro on top of it, and just sort of just remotely sort of wheeling
it
around
it through the co-op
with a ring modulation
funny.
Speaker on it, and just sort of talk to people on it. But I think somebody might attack it, so I think it's probably not a good idea.
Do it in Cow's Week.
I'm talking about the co-founder of the show coming in earlier on. And she's been offered full-time work down at Corrie's cabin. Mm. So, therefore, we then lose the family allowance, being that she's no longer in full-time education. So we said to her, well, if that's the case, then you therefore would have to give us some money to equalise that situation. She says, oh, I'm not paying rent. So I think Deb said, oh, if that's the case, your dad will kick you out then. And well, she's not prepared to pay anything towards the upkeep of the house, including food that goes in her mouth, where she's fully employed or whatever. Then, therefore, yes, she would be kicked out into a somewhere to live, obviously. And she's found somewhere in Ventnor.
Oh, shit.
60 quid a week. So that suits me because it's right over the other end of the island.
I had to pay rent from the age of 13.
That's 10 minutes away, isn't it?
10 minutes away.
One of the reasons you keep going to that place with all the amusement rides, that's 5 minutes away.
Yes.
You could get there in 5 minutes if you drove ridiculously fast and probably killed a few people and yourself on the way there. Anyway, right.
As the crow flies.
The third most expensive item, as last week, is...
The Doctor Who Millennium FX Sonic Screwdriver Prop Replica. £240 with 4 bids. Plus £7.
What was it last week?
Don't remember. So like 100 and something, wasn't it?
So it must be a different one then. So some dippy twit has paid... Oh, mind you, you're probably right.
Yeah.
I think it was more last week. No. Somebody sort of paid a load more money for it. And so there you go. That more or less concludes eBay for this week. That's it. Run out of things to talk about now, unless you've got anything to say, Kirby.
Have we mentioned our sponsors?
No, we haven't. Kirby?
What?
Tell Mary. Ask Mary who our sponsors are.
Oh, yeah, who are our sponsors? Plus, we need to discuss next week.
No, we don't. Sponsors first, next week next, second.
Sponsors.
Yes.
Lavarzi.
Ooh, well done.
.co.uk.
Is that easier to remember than the other one?
Well, the other one is whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
She's actually got it tattooed on the back of her hand.
I was
actually,
drooling over Lavarzi the other week.
What, this particular scarf here?
We've switched over to our site so I can...
Right. They've got the Doctor Who range on Lavarzi, right? Right. I've got one of them.
Yeah.
Which is the Doctor Who scarf. Official BBC Fourth Doctor replica scarf, which is lovely, as a replacement.
It's
my first one frayed around the edges, but the lovely Meninda very kindly sort of half donated me a replacement. I had to pay half the money for it because I didn't have a receipt, and I didn't buy it from Amazon because I bought it from Forbidden Planet. Otherwise, it would have given me a full refund. Anyway, but what I would like to have is this one here, which is the Doctor Who Season 18 Tom Baker Burgundy scarf. And I did actually touch it once, and I said to her, I wouldn't mind one of them. And she said, you've already got a scarf. Why do you need that one for? Because it's nice. No, you don't need it.
Then, I'd like one.
We left the doctor thing, and then I said after, we should have got the scarf. Now. Well, you should have got it then. You said I couldn't. This thing here, I wouldn't mind to have, but I'd have to have that as well, which is the Seventh Doctor Silk Paisley scarf. Which I like to say when Matthew's on the Sixth Doctor, because he always shouts, just to wind him up.
Who's Matthew?
And, of course, this is what I really, really want, and I nearly bought it, but Debbie wouldn't let me. When would you wear it?
All the time.
I might even wear it out if I felt that way inclined, but I certainly would wear it. So that's the Seventh
when
Doctor.
When I go back to work, I'm getting the dark scarf. Who's doing that?
Get your hand out of that pack of jelly babies.
Yes, it is a packet of jelly babies.
We'll do it a bit quieter. And finally, of course, the scarf that Lottie Keane got extremely excited about when it landed on her doorstep, the Dalek scarf, official BBC Doctor Who Dalek scarf. And that's it, £36.99. It is the same price as the Seventh Doctor Silk Paisley scarf.
Oh, now I've got a dilemma.
And what's your dilemma?
Which one?
All of them.
All right, then.
So,
that's my
Lavarzi.
Bonus gone.
Now, of course, I typed that in wrong there. Let's try that again, but type it incorrectly.
Travesty.
We've just done a quiz
wrong.
Show called You Won't Get This One. Of course, there is a quiz book attached to You Won't Get This One, an e-quiz book. Will you stop rattling around?
Can I have one?
Blimmin' Jelly
Here,
Babies.
Have one.
And that e-quiz book connected to the show is called The Ultimate Doctor Who Quiz Book. It does sound rather big-headed to call it The Ultimate Doctor Who Quiz Book, but judging by the questions of our quiz show, it clearly is.
Yeah.
Because a similar sort of line of questioning. Available on iTunes and, what's the other medium? Oh, Amazon, isn't it? Yes. Very cheap as well. Buy it. Then you might be able to answer some of the questions in the quiz.
I bought it as soon as it was available.
Have you looked at it?
Yes.
I'm very surprised, because if he's actually read it, he hasn't actually jumped on any of the incorrect questions or answers, which is, there aren't any, by the way, in the book. Right, whowon.co.uk, last week they
am I supposed to research it?
No, you're not. You're supposed to just say how brilliant it is.
Permission granted,
Canine. Well, we'll just recap that. That's good. Hey, they've got a brilliant mug on whowon.co.uk.
Cyberman head mug. It's got $9.99. Two handles. That's brilliant.
It's got a handle on the other side
and
of the
head. And the salt and pepper shakers, look.
Yeah, but they should call this handle, shouldn't they?
Yeah, handles. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Handles.
Someone was wandering around Timegate last weekend with handles.
Oh, brilliant.
Oh, excellent. This is really good. I think I might want to get one. I've got lots of mugs, but that's...
The Cyberman head mug. It's like a tippy cup, really, isn't
it? It's got...
It?
Yeah, it's like a baby's mug without the...
I can legitimately get one for my daughter, but keep it for myself.
Yes. Well, how big is it? Price $9.99, whowon.co.uk. And, of course, as Debbie said, the salt and pepper shakers, I must get them.
Yes.
They should really be Daleks, not TARDISes, though.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
I have seen a version of these, not as good, but these are $14.99, and I'd probably break them after 5 seconds.
Here's the green jelly, baby. It looks like it's melted.
Cheers.
Lovely. Right, I think that's about it. I don't think I'll just have a quick look at the 20MB.2 podcast Facebook group to see if anybody's posted anything interesting.
Warriors Gate next week.
Is it?
Yes.
I like that. Good. I'll be looking forward to seeing that. Yet another Tom Baker.
And that's
story
one I have not seen.
Alleged
I didn't see it
random. story picker. Yeah.
I didn't see it back in the 80s, and so this will be my very first time.
Yeah. I don't remember this one. I probably will once it's
Warrior's
it's
Gate
on,
Virgin.
Yes.
But yes,
as soon as this, the opening scene, you'll go, oh yeah, I remember this one.
Probably.
Did he say he'd never seen it? Or he's,
I won't remember this one because...
Mary, have you seen it?
Nope, haven't
good.
Seen
that's,
this one.
So that's two Warriors Gate. Have you seen it?
I will probably remember it once it's on, but I won't remember.
So Isabella hasn't seen it. Maybe I can get Isabella to watch it.
Master?
There'll be three. Yes?
As I mentioned when we did the other two of the East Space Trilogy stories, I somehow missed the East Space Trilogy the first time around, and this is my first running through with it, even though I've had the box set for a while.
Mm. Oh, sorry.
I
look forward to that. When are we recording then?
It's up to everyone else.
Monday then. Because we could record on Monday, that gets me out of trouble with She Who Must Be Obeyed.
Since we did Sunday, I guess I can agree to Monday.
And also it's after Isabella's birthday. She won't be here, but her birthday's on
Sunday.
So
the question is going to be, will Matthew show that he exists?
Hmm. But that's a good. I've just come up with a really good reason not to record next week.
Why?
Because it's Isabella's birthday.
Right.
I'm also doing something that evening. Oh no, I'm not doing something. Originally, I was going to be doing a boudoir photo shoot, but Stuart Gibbs decided to move the date to Alicia's birthday.
Tell us more. Tell us more.
I was just a model. They hire Stuart Gibbs, who hires out his photo studio to people. He also sets up little photographic events, including we did one with a singer. I might have seen the photos of a lad called what's his name again? Sam Sheesby, yes, in. Did some pictures of Sam Sheesby in the studio, which I was quite pleased with. They come out. His next event was the boudoir shoot with some model whose name escapes. I think it was Sarah. I can't remember. Sarah's a mirror. But unfortunately, they moved the date forward 2 weeks. I've paid for it, but I can't do it now because they moved it. And it's also Alicia's birthday. And she wants everybody to go up to Thorpe Park so she can have an argument there instead of here with everybody. She's actually paid for a hotel room near Thorpe Park. It's 19 miles away. She said, how long will it take to get from there to Thorpe Park? So if you walk in, probably about 3 hours. Or
Good stretch of the
So they're, oh, well, we'll have to come then. So as we can give her a lift from her hotel with her boyfriend from her hotel to the park and back to the hotel again and then drive home. So, but I'm sure they'll have a shuttle bus anyway because it's one of the hotels recommended by Thorpe Park. But I don't really want to go. I want to stay here. One, because I don't really fancy theme parks of the size of Thorpe Park. Two, I don't like queuing all day for rides. I like Robin Hill because you've got lots of scenery and wildlife and open spaces.
Where's this theme park?
Which one? Thorpe Park.
Thorpe Park's on the mainland somewhere.
He's Googling it.
North Island.
Yes, it's owned by Madame Tussauds, which is the same group of companies that owns
Say what
Towers
it is again?
Chessington. Thorpe. T-H-O-R-P-E. Thorpe Park It's a large theme park, unlike the ones on the Isle of Wight, where you queue a lot. Which is very
what
I remember of Disneyland Paris when we went there. It was just basically there was a queue, and even if you had a fast pass, you still had to queue for quite a long time. But yeah, I'd rather stay here. One, because I think parts of that size. Two, because I wanted to do the boudoir shoot, for obvious reasons. But yes.
So when are you going to Thorpe Park?
Pardon?
When are you going to Thorpe Park?
22nd of June is Leisha's 17th birthday.
No.
But I'm hoping I'm not going to be going. But it looks like I am. It's going to cost a fortune to just go up there. It's a lot to pay just for an argument, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. I was talking about before
when are we recording?
Oh yeah, next Monday. I was talking about news and stuff. Things that we'd seen ourselves, and you referred to this trailer, which doesn't appear to be on Doctor Who News, which was a bit quite surprising.
Might have just been a.
There's on Twitter, there's from Doctor Who 247, there's a lovely picture of two of the Doctors allegedly floating in space.
And 8. Yeah.
Yes.
60 and 80.
That's a nice picture.
Oh, you've seen that, have you?
Yeah.
What else have we got here? Anything interesting about Doctor Who spoilers? They've got a few location shots of things. I couldn't load up the page on my phone. So I wonder if I can find that one. It's of the 12th Doctor regenerating. Oh, that's a bit of a spoiler there. No, they didn't. They didn't get that one. It wouldn't be ironic if it actually happened there. No, there's not much going on, is there? It's all got a bit quiet, considering it's only a couple of months now till the series starts.
Everyone's just holding their breath.
Yes, it's all gone a bit on the quiet side. And nobody's listening to Doctor Who podcasts, but you can guarantee that when that... When that month comes along, the listeners of podcasts go up by about 3 or 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
So there we go. Anyway, so until next week. Oh, that's a bit of an abrupt end, isn't it? Until next week.
So after rambling about Thorpe Park for a while,
I'm trying to bring up information. You know, I like theme parks, so I'm...
I like theme parks.
I'm looking Doctor up Who more information
park.
About
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we need a Doctor Who theme chart. We used to have a crinkly bottom theme park of Noel Edmonds thought up, but I'm surprised there isn't a Doctor Who one. And yes, we
do. Now, you enjoyed the Harry Potter theme park, didn't you?
That wasn't a theme park, that was the studio. So yes, I didn't enjoy it. It was actually studios.
Studio tour, yeah. Yeah, to do that.
Really good. But anyway, I suppose that's about it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Waiting for Kirby to say something. No, good.
Sounds like that's it.
Kirby's busy Googling at the moment.
Yes.
I'm looking up Thorpe Park theme park. It's one I'd never heard
Thorpe
of before.
Thorpe Park theme park.
Thorpe Park theme
it's park. One of the top ones in Great Britain, so you should have done. Anyway, so next week.
I've never heard of it. Oh, Elise, so there
Isabella
it is.
Will be it's 8. We're recording the day after Isabella's 8th birthday.
Oh, is she going to be on? No, she'll be at school, won't she?
No, we don't want her grizzling, do we? By the way, apparently she will return to the quiz one day, but I've got to set her some special questions.
She will be back.
She'll be to prevent.
Grizzling. She's going to be in school. When is her summer break?
August. No, end of July, August.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just have 6 weeks, isn't it? Something like that.
6 weeks.
But anyway, our kids are all out on summer break now.
Are they? Lucky them.
Lucky kids.
There's a girl flying, eh? How'd that get in? Oh, Alicia must have brought it in. Anyway, thanks for listening to the show. See you again next week. I'll have to get rid of that fly. I've got some fly spray in the kitchen somewhere. Anyway, it's still on the screen. It's on my monitor, for God's sake. Not my breath, is it? Anyway.
Debbie just passed out.
longest drawn, most drawn out goodbye ever. Bye.
Yes, goodbye.
Goodbye,
fancy pants.
Quest is the quest.
Stop flapping your ears after I've finished recording.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an ATV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is the trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.
This is the end. Hold your breath and count to 10. Feel the earth move and more.